Linda Hurwitz and Betty Alpern with Mr. Henry Kerner doing an interview for the Oral History Project number 2 on December 12, 1978. Mr. Kerner, we'd like to begin by asking you to talk to us for a little while about your immediate family, your father, your mother, your siblings, and your past history.
Well, my father comes, I think, far back from a place in Czechoslovakia on the border, but he was really a Viennese, what you would call, you know, like you could call an American that is coming on the Mayflower, you would call an American. And my mother comes from a little town in Poland by the name Stryj. Now, I have never met a relative of mine in my whole life. It's unbelievable. With the name of Kerner, except when I was in New York State, I talked in a place, and they said their name is Kerner, and they mentioned for the first time that name, which is now gone out of my mind, of where my father was, his family came hundreds of years ago. So if somebody says to me, my name is Kerner too, I know immediately that there are no relatives. I don't know why, because, I mean, there's something mystical in my aloneness, you know. I don't want to have pity, but there is nobody except, I think, three cousins alive of the whole family, of father and mother side. One is in Israel, near Tel Aviv, and the other one is in Australia, and one cousin of mine is, if she's still living, is living in New York. The Jewish upbringing, as it I remember in my house, was like a Viennese citizen upbringing. That means an assimilated situation. With other words, no orthodox expression. No keeping of the Sabbath, and of course, always you never forgot for one second in Vienna since I was born that you're Jewish, because there's an innate anti-Semitism in Vienna, hovering like the smoke over a city. You know, there's just you just can't escape, and you're always confronted with him when you were a child. If you're circumcised, you know, it's all very, very important. They pull your pants down, and later on in school, there's a tremendous anti-Semitism between two groups, which were at the beginning of secret Nazis, and the Jewish group, which trended, not that this is not dogmatic, that it always happened like this, but towards socialism and communism. So I was, of course, a socialist towards the communist direction in my youth, because there was no other possibility. You have, as a matter of fact, I want to say now, project forward, this aimlessness and not being able to deflate the youth strengths and enthusiasm and insanity of youth that is today some sort of deviated into nothingness, you know, was very good taken care of by the emphasis on politics, you know. Because this is tremendously important, you understand, the capitalist and the war and all these problems. I mean, when you ask an American about these problems, he doesn't know, he doesn't care. He is different. He he directs his energy in different directions. Now the same thing probably happens also in Vienna. That means people from middle class, so-called good families, all of a sudden become hoodlums and bad people, aimless people. With other words, this is a complete disproof of Marxism, that he says lumpenproletariat or proletarians are coming to society. That's a lot of baloney, because we don't know why they come, but we come under all. I always say somebody has to be a criminal. You cannot make people better and eliminate criminality, because somebody has to take the role of being a criminal. Somebody has to be a murderer. Somebody has to be a thief. And somebody has to be a hoodlum. Somebody has to be a nothingness. So where do these people fit in? You cannot divine. There's no system, philosophy, or any medium of finding out why these things are all of a sudden spurting out, exact the same way as you cannot define of why a genius is born. Why should Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and Raphael live in the same street? One of the great, I don't think they were great, but they were very important towards the artistic world. Or why was a Beethoven created? Why was a Melville? There is no rhyme nor reason for either the development of war, of misdemeanor, of criminality, of psychoanalysis, of disturbed mind, of genius. There's no rhyme nor reason, nor will anybody ever find out. When Freud, who was Jewish too, because the three most important Jewish people in our existence, in our whole existence of the century, are Freud, Einstein, and Marx. There's just no question about it.
Freud was from Vienna also, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. Freud, Einstein was from Germany, and Marx was also from Germany. But this is, there's just no question about it. This truth was not, I did not come upon it by myself, but my great friend, a Christian, Alexander Eliot, said this to me. What do you want? The three most important people of our whole existence are three Jews, Marx, Einstein, and Freud.
And then often people add Christ and Moses to round it out over
history. I mean, this is really, we're coming into later on. I when we talk about my Jewishness, that and my relationship with the Jewish community, which is none, and I want to say right away, they have not supported me ever, nor am I ever have any benefit for them. They are as rotten as the Christians are, or as good as the Christians are. Many Jews, like Bernie Grossman, buys my painting, but that doesn't. But as a Jewish community, I'm not furthered as a Christian is of making illustration and paintings for churches like Virgil Cartini. You understand? He is supported. But there is a relationship. Why? Maybe. But I don't want to go into the why.
Well, before we go into the community,
we go back to your home. So we had one brother that was loved by my father's family, and I was the second child that was born 1 year later. We both had birthday in August.
Could you tell us your birthday, please?
The 28th of August 1915, and he was the 24th of August 1914, which means that he was not a Virgo. But I want to say immediately, I don't believe in anything. You know, in the moment I look towards a dogma, I immediately look away. It doesn't mean anything. If you are a Virgo, you're not a Virgo, it really doesn't mean anything to me. But there is a difference. There's an entirely difference. I always point out it's the difference between Cain and Abel. Who is the killer? We don't know. But there is a definite, complete opposition. And it's the same thing with my children, an opposition of Joey and his sister, Stephanie. There's an absolute opposite of characters like Cain and Abel. I think that's the most pronounced difference of two brothers. For this reason, just to jump forward, I always talk around things. Robert Kennedy had nothing to do with his brother. I painted both, but Robert Kennedy had nothing to do with John Kennedy. They were absolutely like Cain and Abel again. They had nothing to do. They were just opposite. To think that they have something similar to do with each other because they're brothers is not true. Now, strangely enough, my brother, who was a very ardent communist who pulled me into the party as a youth communist. Later on, before Hitler came, became very, very Zionistic, and his great want or endeavor or wish was to go to Israel. Of course, he never got there. He was killed in somewhere, maybe probably in Poland. He married when Hitler came to Vienna, and they had a little child, and all these things are very dubious. I have no idea. Only know that that Germany created a Polish government, and in this government he had some work which was some sort of preparation for a kibbutz in Israel. But all those things are just rumors, you understand? The only thing, now to come to me, only no reality in terms of rumors. And you do also. What some people are, like you say about your husband, that he doesn't like couches. But we really don't know if he really hates couches, because he never wrote a book about it, and he never had the real, as I go into a painting, the realization of what I mean. And once you go into realization of what you really mean, you all of a sudden find out that you don't mean this at all. You understand what I'm talking about? That's the reason why I hate people who vote once in 4 years and are experts of economy, of foreign policy, of everything, and all of a sudden they vote for a president. But they don't vote rationally for a president. We do everything intuitively. In the last analysis, we do it, or maybe we like the face, maybe we like something about the person, why we vote for it. So all these rationalizations, highly exaggerated. Now to come back to my brother, myself, my parents liked me, and father's family liked my brother, and they gave him money and food, and again you can say, well, they spoiled him. There is no such thing like spoiling. There's nothing you can do with your children to have any influence. I mean, this, I just talk to you. None influence whatsoever. Your children is got to grow up the way they are growing, as they're destined to grow up. And all these things that you think, that you show them things, that you take them skiing, it's all baloney. It's absolutely, as a matter of fact, if you take them later on, they will tell you that they hated it. You know, you understand that? What did you say?
I said you're going to be damned either way, whatever.
That's
you do,
right. Or loved, or hate, or loved, or whatever it is, but it has nothing to do with what they are as human beings.
Okay. Do you feel
but there are certain influences? No.
That's one thing. There is no influence at all on human beings. I can tell you a sentence until doomsday that is the truth, and you will not accept it because intuitively you reject my truth. Now that's a very, very important, with other words, do my paintings have any influence of the change? None whatsoever. Does Marx have, when Marx says something, it's palatable to millions of people. He only expresses what they want to hear. When that's the reason why Hitler was so successful, because he was not a maker of history, he was a manifestation of history. He became, and whole his group was epitomizing or speaking out loud what all German and Austrian wanted to hear. Everything that he said was complete, absolute truth for them. That's the reason why he was so successful. Now you can, we always have this question. I always come back and forth. I always don't forget to come back to the family. If I would have a public relation, man, I would be more successful. That's nonsense. You cannot influence a society or a group or people because of a public relations. I mean, certain things, if you want to sell toothpaste or if you want to sell a product, you are of influence, but it's not important. With other words, Marxism is not an influence that influenced the Chinese. It's the Chinese found these words and they fitted their way of life, and so they accept it. Or with other words, Marx says all the things that people want to hear. Now to come back to my brother and I was always, he was the brilliant one and I was the stupid one. And this is a characterization also for my schoolmates, that I was always the stupid one, you know, and I'm still considered as the stupid one, because if you go to your mother, you are her child. You can grow up and be 90 years old. If your mother is still alive, there's no change of relationship, you understand?
But see, there is an influence, because they characterized you as that. You remember that as the characterization
of your
youth.
Yes, but it has influence on my development, you understand?
Doesn't it affect your self-image? No.
It's just an irritation that you have to overcome. You either overcome it or you stay stupid. Mm-hmm. But what I develop to what I am today has nothing to do with the criticism of my great boss in Vienna, from whom I worked for the first time, because I admired him tremendously. And he criticized me and said, "You will never be able to draw." And I let him eat these words. You know, every time I do, I draw as good as Albrecht Dürer is. When you read in the article that I'm a self-appointed genius, I didn't invent the idea. Miller, I mean, what's his name? The critic of the Post, the press.
Donald Miller.
He coined this idea, and it was coined before, so why shouldn't I repeat it? So what did I say before? Before I said this?
That you have shown the man who
yes.
for the first time through
so
all your paintings.
So I don't say that I draw as great as Albrecht Dürer, but I quote Alexander Eliot, who said there's no man in the whole history of art. And he understood what I'm doing in drawings. I don't ever sketch the drawing. When I draw, it's a whole, as you see in this book, I do a whole painting in black and white, thin drawings on a white piece of paper. But there's no other example in the whole history. George Grosz was very good, but he did not see reality as a whole. He was too much, too old and too much influenced by German Marxism, so he could not look, as I do, reality as a complete, untouched, un-Christian, influenced by Christ or his teachings or Marxism or nationalism or anything that you can imagine that something would be on top of you that you have to escape, like for instance James Joyce, who had to escape a very strict religious upbringing. Now, to come back to the religious upbringing, I always talk down my education, but my education was gigantic, and I didn't have good memory, but I do remember certain aspects that were told to me in school, and one thing you probably know is that from elementary school on to college, you always have a must religious class. You, with other words, twice a week you have religion, and you learn the Old Testament, and you learn. Is it too cold for you?
No.
Are you sure? Okay. With other words, the Jews are parted in to look down Eastern Jews from Poland and Russia. They are some sort of despised by the Jews. And then you have the Viennese Jews, and their hope was, and the peoples who faked a liking for the Jews, that Hitler is not against you, he's against the Polish Jews. But in the community, you were forced to be a Jew. Now, Kreisky, that's a very good... I talked with a Jew in Vienna, and I said, Kreisky is Jewish. What do you mean? Christ is not Jewish. He said, of course he's Jewish. No, he gave up his belief. He can give up his belief if he wants until doomsday. He is Jewish. Because you're born as a Jew. Anything, race, belief, mind, everything is formed by the phenomena that you're Jewish. So I don't, but this consciousness of taking off your belief and saying you're not Jewish anymore is still in these Jews today that are older Jews. They have this insane concept, and you can talk to many Jews in Vienna, and all of them would say, with other words, there were only two possibilities. Either you were Jewish or you were Christian. There's three possibilities. A Christian, which you are not, you're Jewish, you give up your religion, and you become a Freidenker, which in other words, without religion. I know many people, because some people, their fathers were in the newspaper, not thinking of a girl, it becomes uncomfortable for them to be Jewish. But I don't know what it would help them to be a free thinker. I mean, finally, the stamp came from Hitler. I don't care if you renounce your religion. You are Jewish and you go to the camps, to the concentration camps.
As you were growing up through the 1920, 1925.
28,
32,
yeah.
When Hitler wasn't in power at that point.
Yes, yes.
Then Vienna, where you were living, wasn't there a Jewish community?
Yes, but see, first of all, I don't know if it's specific of my upbringing, but there is no consciousness of myself, of any relationship with anybody. Now, I sang in the Jewish choir in the temple, and I did go to the temple on Saturday, and one day I remember that one winter became more Jewish. Now I want to say that my mother was more in the in the tradition of Jewishness, but of course we had no, we ate pork and we didn't have a kosher household, which is mainly through the kept by the Eastern influx of Jews, with whom we didn't have anything to do. I remember there was a grocery store downstairs, and of course there was a whole house where mostly Eastern Jews lived. With other words, reality as you lived was partly in different parcels, in different classes. Does that answer your?
Yes.
Or did you ask
what was your class? What was your class? Like, what did your
middle,
father do?
Middle Jewish middle class, mm-hmm. assimilated.
Right.
Assimilated is many, but I think in America the middle class is more Jewish conscious than in Vienna, where you had to be assimilated. Mm-hmm. Okay, ask.
Were you bar mitzvahed?
No.
Did you celebrate the holidays, Hanukkah?
Yes,
Hanukkah,
we
Friday
always, we always, no, of no course not, of course not, oh, of course not. But on the other hand, there was something that came to my mind. We did once have a Hanukkah, and oh yes, I wanted to say that I don't know if I was, for instance, matzot to eat them. The school didn't like it because they made so many crumbs. So there was always the question: do you go to school on Jewish holiday, which we did not? But again, you can excuse it because you like not to go to school. But it was perfectly legitimate in terms of the school to stay away from classes. But we had some very wonderful Jewish professors. Now I want to go back to my religious teacher, who was strangely enough liked by the Christians also. And I remember walking with these Christians and the Jews, like in the Old Testament, where you stop and you talk with each other and then you go on. And it was very, very a lovely period. But I always want to remind you, never anti-Semitism stopped at this moment. It just happens, I don't know why, but they liked him. And I don't know if he was a great, I don't think he was a good teacher, because all Hebrew and I mean the terms of the Old Testament, it was fine that he told us the episodes of the history of the Jews, but I don't think that his Hebrew teaching was good at all.
Now this was done through this 2 times a week
of
in
course,
school.
Yes, okay. Yes, of course. And it's still now going on. You have the Catholic and you have the Protestant. I don't think there's any Jewish education, because there are not enough Jews anymore left in Vienna. They don't go to school. I don't know what the situation is. But you asked me a question. I'm very vague about it because I really don't remember. I remember the two temples in the second district, which was very, very highly Jewish. It was called the Matzot Insel, which is the Matzot Island, it was called, and there were one temple that was not a progressive, how do you call this in Jewish? What is more conservative?
Reform.
A reform. No, it was a conservative temple like
Orthodox.
No, conservative like
Beth Shalom.
Exactly like Beth Shalom. You had your hat on. I don't know if women and men sat at different places. I sang in the choir because I had a very beautiful voice, but Hebrew, I never understood it nor could read it, and I had great hard time when I was called out to the front by our religious teacher to read my sentence and translate it. And I always had read it written over the words. So he said, "Show it to me." Aha! And you go in again. He saw the writing above. But it was really, but I characterize you, one aspect of my teaching, of my learning faculty, of my education, it all was like this. I always faked. I don't know how I ever got to school. It was a traumatic experience. I don't know how I ever got with not understanding what at all what was going on in mathematics or descriptive geometry or history or geography or chemistry. Or I was very good at that. I'm always very good in painting and drawing, and I was always the best. There's no question. And I helped other people. I worked on their work.
Were you aware of your
but my creator. Now I want to tell you, there was one person, a professor. My, you have a cold. Huh?
No, that's.
Are you sure? Sinus drippings. So we had one professor who pointed a finger at me, and I was very bad in grammar.